T-minus 10, 9.
You're listening to the Launchpad Podcast with J-Man.
Brought to you by Gallant Media.
2, 1.
Here's your host,
Ignition.
J-Man.
This is episode number 3. And we're bringing back a familiar face.
Already.
It's like I've run out of guests. Nobody wants to do this with me.
Due to popular demand.
Sean Gallant from Gallant Media is back. And of course, he is the sponsor of this podcast. And last time we talked about Napoleon Dynamite, the fact that you're a racist.
Yes.
And your phone isn't on silent. I don't think mine is either.
I thought it was.
Your golden child. And what else did we chat about?
Did you say racism?
Yeah, okay. I made sure that we talked about racism. Yeah. That was a great chat, and a lot of people really appreciated that conversation,
by the way. My buddy called me a racist. Yeah.
And now I've actually kind of decided that on Fridays, we're going to have a little bit more fun. We can talk with entrepreneurs, of course, but want to have some fun. Things might get a little bit freaky. And then Monday, we'll just even things out, and it's going to be more of just a strictly business chat, right?
You know what, though? I think each podcast can be a little bit of all that stuff.
It's most definitely, it's evolving as we go. So what I'm hoping at the end of the day is that if someone can pull out one nugget, business related,
or
that's
otherwise.
Fantastic. Or otherwise, because it just takes one idea to absolutely overhaul someone's existence.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're way past intro, but you might as well just,
If I do one now, can you copy and paste it?
And I'll put it at the front?
Yeah.
No, it'll be really weird is that people are going to be listening to the intro of the front, and they're going to get to this point and be like, they got me.
Yeah,
that's the power of editing.
Is that what we're doing then?
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, so you give me an intro now. They're actually going to hear two intros now. Okay, let's do this.
One now, and then, but one at the beginning.
But one at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to J-Man on the Launchpad Podcast, right here on 106. No,
you can't start doing radio call. Okay, let's do it again.
Hey, you're listening to J-Man on the Launchpad Podcast, right here from his kitchen.
From
right?
From the peninsula.
Oh,
I got nailed so many times because I used to say, "Oh yeah, I have an island," and they're like, "That's not an island, that's a peninsula."
Oh, this,
What else? So yes, we're talking to Sean Gallant from Gallant Media, GallantMedia.ca, the sponsor of this podcast, and let's obviously talk business.
Sure.
And there are some big things happening right now in the Gallant Media camp. Yeah. You have previously performed 3. Successful Petawawa showcases.
Yes.
Where you have 10,000 people through the door. That means 20,000 eyeballs in a 3-day period. We're talking about Petawawa, and a lot of people find that hard to believe.
Yeah.
Now, let's just dive a little bit deeper into that, because on recalling the first time that you're on the podcast, I kind of rushed you through it. So just quickly.
There's the Russian again.
But know what I mean? Just
I'm gonna call you Boris because you're always Russian.
I'm oh. Okay. So, anyways, in a nutshell, why does someone want to head to Petawawa for the Petawawa showcase?
So we have a great vendor package that can be downloaded from the website. We've got people, vendors have told me that they've never been to another show that provides the level of professionalism and just the sheer volume of people that we bring through the door. I mean, sure, you see that at the large trade shows in Ottawa, but you're also talking, you know, 3 times the cost to get into one of those shows as a vendor, right? So
I think you're being generous by saying it's only 3 times the cost. Like, things are ridiculously expensive if you want to partake in the city. And I think the mistake that a lot of vendors make, and maybe this is a nugget, there's a lot of people that spend $175 here. Maybe they're in front of 500 people.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe they spend a little bit less, a little bit more, and same thing. Maybe they get exposed to 1,000 people, opposed to why not save up your money for a big bang? The Petawawa Showcase is notorious that when people bring their stuff, they don't leave with it.
Absolutely.
Right. They have a packed car on the way there, and on the way back, it's a lot lighter.
That's right. We've got a lot of long term vendors because they see the benefit of coming to the show, and they do so well that they're back every year.
Absolutely.
And that's great.
Yeah, and that's so cool to see, right? Yeah. So they're satisfied. You know, there's some people that generally do fare better at a showcase that you can kind of say, like, you know what, this maybe just won't work. Is there something out there that just you can think of in the past, like maybe that just does not work?
As a vendor?
Yeah.
At showcase?
Yeah.
I haven't had a vendor tell me that showcase just wasn't for them because it didn't work.
Mm-hmm. That was kind of a trick question right there. But that's good. No, it's great. Yeah, I've not heard that people don't want to be back. And really, the biggest thing about it, and, you know, I really want to put the stamp on this, it's free, right? Not to be a vendor, although it's almost free, like when you're on vacation. Well, almost free, senor. Yeah. But, you know, we're talking about a table that could go as little as $400 for 3 days, which is ridiculous for 10,000 people to walk through the door. But it's free for people to attend, so free admission.
That's right.
And then it's free entertainment.
Free admission, free entertainment, and free parking.
And so, free parking, right? So that means the person that is going to come check out Petawawa Showcase, they're going to have more money to spend on the vendor opposed to spending money at the door.
Absolutely.
And, you know, just to give a loose parallel, like I hate when I go to a bar and there's a cover charge. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, oh, it's only $5. Well, that $5 was my first beer. So I'm really annoyed about that. So Showcase is really absolutely fantastic. And I am so excited to share some big news. Yeah. We don't have to give specifics, but we're going to be branching out with the Showcase brand.
That's right.
And we're going to be going to... No, we won't say that.
We don't want to say that.
And when are we going to be doing this?
Are we saying dates? I thought we were
Well, yeah, dates. We can do dates. No, okay, we're not going to do dates. What the fuck can we say? What can we say?
We have a Showcase coming up closer to Ottawa.
In
the Ottawa area.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's what it is.
So, okay. We have an announcement that Showcase is going to be...
coming closer to the city.
Hey! Well, Ottawa specifically.
Ottawa, yeah.
Yeah.
This city.
That doesn't help.
No, the Ottawa city.
Yeah, Ottawa city.
Yeah.
All right. That was smooth. Okay, so we covered Showcase. Now, in regards to business, this is something that I want to talk about, and it comes from something that we were actually just recently discussing, that it's really important for people to understand the value of their brand, right?
Sure, yeah.
Where there are so many people, especially when you're self-employed, to where there is this place of scarcity that sometimes we can come from, that we would rather have... not necessarily the business that they should be paying for, but to where sometimes people will cave on their prices because they're thinking, I'd rather have some money here than absolutely no money. How important do you think it is that people respect the price tag of their brand?
Well, what starts happening is when you start lowering your prices, then that's what everybody expects, right? So you'll never make what you should be worth or what you think you're worth, because people will just start expecting those deals or low cuts.
Right. Like I even remember, even with you, I wanted to make sure that my first sale respected the price tag of your work.
Yeah,
right. So Sean is the one that does all the web design. I'm just out there helping him share his wares with the world.
Right.
And I knew that if I did that one, and Ottawa is such a small place, they say everybody knows one another, and with Facebook, like there's half a degree of separation now.
Yeah.
I take a whatever priced website, and I take 25% or 20% or whatever it might be off that price, and they talk to somebody else. So now what happens with that referral?
Mm-hmm.
I've just tainted that referral because they're going to expect something around the same price that you gave that person.
Sure.
You know, so it's just like this... you know, what's the word? Like a...
Perpetual.
It's perpetual. Yeah, I was going to come up with a little saying or something like that, but you know, you do it once, it happens again and again and again.
Exactly.
I think it's really important for people to know their price. It's sometimes even better to lose out on that one person opposed to giving them that discounted price.
I sometimes with Showcase, you know, I've given a good deal to somebody that's done a lot of business with me or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I noticed the next year they've just assumed that they get the same price.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope.
That's
there.
What I'm
that's
saying.
What I was kind of wanting to put out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But especially, I mean, I guess if you were to make that move, the best time to do that would be with someone that you've done repetitive business, letting them know exactly what it is that they're getting.
Absolutely.
You know what? I'll give you 25% off this year because you've been super fantastic. One time only, wink, whatever. But let them know exactly what they're going to get so they don't have to guess. You had a really great nugget last time that we spoke in regards to quitting, that every entrepreneur at one point should think about quitting.
Yeah.
Probably a whole bunch of times.
Oh, a lot of times.
And what was so great about that is that's the little bit of information that someone can come away with that maybe was thinking about quitting that didn't.
Well, I think what it makes you do when you think about quitting is reevaluate what it is you're doing and whether it makes you happy. You know what I mean? Like,
let's actually explore that flip side. Okay. Sometimes, you evaluate, where am I right now? Is this really working for me?
Mm-hmm.
It is time to throw in the towel.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
You're destined to do something different. There are people that have left things behind,
totally,
have tried something new. People can save themselves a whole bunch of years, a whole bunch of investment of their time by maybe just taking a little bit of time to sit down there, evaluate exactly what it is that they want out of life.
Well, not everybody's meant to be a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody should absolutely try it.
Well, I got pooped on a little bit. I'm actually going to name drop right now. Her name is Anna, and she gave me shit.
What?
And she was like, we were pooping on the 9-to-5. Like,
No, it's not like that at all.
No. I have an appreciation for the person. Actually, God bless the person that is fortunate enough to have a job to where 9-to-5, like, they're happy with that. Some people need that structure. They thrive on it. They have jobs they love that provides options for them and their family. Like, let's high five for that
great.
Right now. Let's
absolutely.
You hear that? One more so they hear it. We're high-fiving the 9-to-5.
Totally.
Okay, that's just not for me. What was your last 9-to-5?
Managing an athlete's world.
Really?
Retail management.
Yeah.
And before that was call center management and sales. And I have a lot of customer service and sales.
Yeah. Well, that shows in your work. I see how you're back and forth with people. Like, some people are messaging you through the website. A lot of people are hitting you up through Facebook as
like
well.
Like 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, like they're just looking for a onesie.
Yeah,
and let me just speak to this because I've seen Sean, like, literally. Like, he's ready to go to bed. He's super tired. A message comes through, and it's somebody wanting a onesie for their baby, and he is on it. Like, Sean really doesn't sleep when it comes to his business, mainly because he just sleeps poorly.
That's
like,
true,
you have
too,
bad sleeping habits.
Yeah, I do,
and then he's up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and boom. Like, you're just, like, you're super responsive. Because I see the notifications on my phone.
Yeah.
And it's mind-boggling. So, like, customer service most definitely is one of your strengths. I remember you telling me about a company in Petawawa.
Yeah.
Okay, and you had somebody working for you at the time that was new, and they sent the wrong order, and the client was obviously upset. They were super eager with all the mock-ups, so on and so forth. They're waiting to unwrap that present, and it's not what they wanted, especially when it comes down to size. Like, that's something that's pretty easy to relay. And you were responsible for fixing this problem because now your employee had since gone their own direction.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about this whole transaction is that the first thing that you did is that you took responsibility for the misplaced order. He is someone that you hired and you took accountability. That is huge. You are also really transparent into what led up to that point to where maybe that this mistake happened. Mm-hmm. And then to finalize, you not only were transparent, not only did you take accountability, but number three, you made sure that you fulfilled the order and then you went beyond expectation.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, client was happy and thankful and grateful and all that stuff. Yeah.
Now, I think we got through all the business stuff.
Great.
Now there's something I'm going to want to talk about
all
forever.
Right,
I said that like I don't even know how long ago in the podcast that I really want to get to it, but transgenders in sport.
Okay.
So,
how do you feel about women competing in men's sports and vice versa?
You know what? I have no problem. Remember Manon Rayom? Come on.
No, I don't.
Give it to me.
What?
She was the hockey player, the female hockey player that was the goalie for Team Canada forever, and she got a tryout with the Tampa Bay Lightning and actually played an exhibition game in the NHL.
I know nothing about this.
Oh, my God.
Is this recent?
No.
Last month or two? Because I haven't heard of this.
I've just been a little busy the last couple of months.
Yeah.
No, this happened like decades ago.
Oh.
Yeah. And, you know, people criticized her because that's what people do
when
other people try to get ahead, you know, and women in a lot of those cases, right? Let's be honest. And then people said the only reason she got the opportunity is because she was pretty. And the reality is, you know what? There were a lot of other hockey players. There were other people that were obviously more qualified to play an exhibition game, yada, yada, yada. But, like, when is that not the case? Well, men.
Okay.
Men. That there were men that had better stats that she got, but that was seen as a big opportunity to capitalize on merchandising.
Yeah, yeah.
Tampa Bay Lightning, they were an expansion team, so they were looking for a lot of attention, right? But she could definitely play, and she had some decent games. And, you know, that's the whole thing when it comes to affirmative action as a whole, whether it comes down to race, you know, handicap, or the fact that you are a female and not a male, right, is that there's always going to be someone better, but it doesn't mean that they didn't deserve the opportunity to be there. And I think she most definitely deserved to be there. Now, she's not transgender. Let's point that out. Right? But, you know, how do I feel about females competing with males? I have absolutely no problem with it. I think in some cases, it's most definitely comes down to an issue of safety. But outside of that, go for it. Now, when we're talking about men, you know, identifying as being female and then competing in things like weightlifting and track and things of that nature, like, I'm sorry, I'm going to say it, like, flat out, it's fucking ludicrous. I can't even believe, like, I'm even having this fucking conversation. I get it. I'm all for identify with whatever you want to be. I mean it 100%. I don't care what's going on down there.
Sure. Yeah.
Whatever you want to be. You can have your junk say, I feel like a female, and guess what? I'm calling you Katie, Beth, whatever name that you want. Okay?
Yeah, right.
Like, across the board.
Okay.
I've had people in my business that are transgender.
Yeah.
Okay, but to just say that I identify as being a female and you were born male and now you're going to go fucking run the 100 meter, that's fucking preposterous. I can't, like, I have to swear, it's that ludicrous to me.
How do you really feel about
it? I'm going to tell you how I really feel is that, like, the slowest man in the 100 meter dash, okay, the slowest dude is faster than, like, fastest 100 meter ever run by a female.
Oh,
this is the truth. This is the one. There's no oh no.
I know. There's stats. I know.
This is going to be something that happens in the Olympics now. Highlighted most recently is that I believe it was a high school track meet. Forgive me if I'm wrong because I don't thoroughly investigate and do my research. But
why would you?
Why would I? It's
why
a podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
But two males that are now identifying as female running in this high school track meet or whatever, and they blew the field out of the water. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And you can think that I'm whatever. Like, I don't care about the person listening to me that thinks I'm a bigot or this and that, because I know who I am and I have no problem.
Sure.
But let's just be realistic. Like, that's bananas. Do anything else that you want. Just don't tell me that you're a girl now and running against women. Yeah, I am born female, and now I'm running against females that were born male. There we go. That's what I wanted to say.
Do you think that they should have their own leagues or teams or, like, you know what I mean? So,
but then, you know,
it's all female, it's all men, and then there's another one that's,
like,
all
I understand what you're doing there, but you know what's going to be, the way that it's going to be perceived is that that's, like, exclusion. You're excluding them from, like, they're different and they have to go.
Yeah, but men and women don't run against each other. They have their own, right?
It's true, but now what you're saying is that they fall somewhere in the middle, opposed to the way that it's being presented is that someone is identifying as being female, even though they were born male, but now they're just they're female now.
I know.
Right? They're female now.
Yeah.
And that's what they identify with, and I want to respect that. It really is interesting, because I'll give you an example. They're, like, in a sport that you would think, like, oh my God, I can't even believe this was allowed, in MMA. There was a male that identified with being female, and she got in the ring with other females, born females.
Yeah, yeah.
MMA.
Yeah.
MMA. Now, she smashed the first two opponents. Now, here's the exception to the rule.
Yeah.
She did eventually lose.
Yeah.
Her third fight, she lost to a woman,
right,
born a woman.
Yeah.
Right? So that was a woman,
sure,
beating up a female that was born male.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's crazy. So it's not to say that just because someone is male, born male, and transition doesn't necessarily mean that they're better
they
than
a
female. Yeah. Well, no, they do have an advantage, but that doesn't always mean that they're going to win.
That's right.
Right? But it most definitely serves as an advantage to be born a male and transition and identify as female.
If you're competing.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, in competition.
Sure.
Think about weight classes.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
what were those for?
Yeah.
In female-exclusive and male-exclusive sports,
mm-hmm,
right? They don't let, like when we, actually, great segue from MMA. Remember when MMA first started,
mm-hmm,
and there were guys that weighed 140 pounds getting in there with sumo wrestlers? And for the most part, they just got squashed. They got annihilated. That's because of the weight class. Now, every once in a while, a small guy won. Hoist Gracie, one of the greatest MMA fighters of all time, like he's a legend. He's in the Hall of Fame. You know, he was the one guy that could, you know, beat these big guys. He made a career off of beating people all different shapes and sizes,
yeah,
with Brazilian jiu-jitsu, right? But for the most part, you see what happens today, especially modern day MMA, when you have people step up a weight class, having to carry all that weight,
mm-hmm,
that extra weight that they're not used to. Or if it's someone having to cut weight and, you know, drop down a couple of divisions,
yeah,
you know, they're not used to not having that weight on them, like being so gaunt almost,
yeah,
you know, not eating the same amount of food or whatever it might be, or having just a hard time staying that weight before weighing. Anyways, point.
You know a lot about MMA.
I know
basically.
A lot. I know a lot about MMA.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's just, I don't think it's one of those things that's going to go away anytime soon. It's still something that's still,
pretty fresh, right?
Still fresh.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see where this conversation is a couple of years down the road. All we can do right now is just kind of put it into play, let it happen, and then evaluate after it's done.
Right.
And to think, you know what? People still joke about Bruce Jenner and,
yeah,
Caitlyn and stuff like that. And you know what? At the time when all that was happening,
mm-hmm,
I totally took for granted what was actually going down. Like how the ball was just starting to roll. I really didn't think about transgender all that much before something like that. Like it only really started getting mentioned more in the public eye.
Because of Bruce Jenner, yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Because of Caitlyn, right? Caitlyn Jenner.
Caitlyn, yeah.
Yeah. We're being so PC correct. I'm just going to say it the way that I want to say it. Sticking with, you know, scenarios of the nether regions.
Okay.
This is something that I told you I wanted to talk about a while back. And it's something that I could not stop talking about months ago after I watched the documentary.
I can't wait. Okay,
you can't remember?
No.
This is just, I'm just kind of dropping this on you.
Yeah.
You don't remember this conversation?
No.
That we were having in a hotel room, and I said, I'd just seen this documentary, and I asked you,
yeah,
had you circumcised your child?
Was this in Montreal?
No, this was in Ottawa. So, maybe you just don't remember.
I do not.
Oh, really?
We were in a hotel
room? We were having a night.
Oh,
yes. We were having a night, though.
Recently.
Yeah, with
yeah,
Dave.
Yeah, Dave.
With Dave.
Hey,
okay.
Dave.
What's up, Dave? How you doing, buddy? And so I had asked you, had you circumcised your child?
What did I say?
You said yes.
Thank God.
Thank God. Now,
yeah,
this is really interesting. So I had watched this documentary,
mm-hmm,
as aforementioned, and it was talking about how circumcisions go wrong, where, like, the penis can actually recede into the abdomen. Like, a whole bunch of just ridiculous stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that can happen with circumcision. I also saw just a couple of seconds of a baby's face while having a circumcision.
Yeah, it's not pretty.
No, and they were saying that there's absolutely no reason for circumcision whatsoever.
Yeah, that's true.
And, like, there's one old guy that's, like, super pro-circumcision. Like, he's way too excited about circumcision. He's like, circumcisions are just doo-doo-doo. This is why we need it. Because without it, your penis is going to be dirty and you're evil. Like, it's pretty much, like, across the board, there's absolutely no reason for you, me, or anyone else to have a circumcision.
Right.
Right? But people
here
fucking do it anyways.
Here we are.
You're like, I'm going to do it. Now, I know for myself, I would never circumcise my child. I'm like, yeah. Why do we still do it?
I did it mainly because it might just be easier for him to, you know, he looks like daddy. You know what I mean?
Right.
So.
And what do you have to base that off of?
Nothing at all.
Right? That's the whole thing. Absolutely nothing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to think.
You're concerned that the baby doesn't have, hasn't made their own choice of whether they want that done to their body.
That's right.
But we also pierce kids, like little girls' ears.
Well, that's their choice.
Who's?
They want it to. Sometimes, sure, maybe a parent just goes out there.
No, that's the parent's choice.
Sure.
Baby. I've seen babies' ears pierced.
That's a great point, because that is body mutilation.
Absolutely.
Here, okay, that's a really great point. Okay. Like, yeah.
Flip side to the coin.
Now, in saying that, though, I mean, this, that doesn't, number one, it doesn't make the circumcision part okay.
No, I'm not saying that.
Yeah. But. You mutilated his penis.
And you know what? At this point.
No, like, no. You're not paying attention. You mutilated his penis. You mutilated it.
Yeah.
That's what you did.
That's right.
And because you have a mutilated penis.
Yeah.
Like, or maybe it's our subconscious, like, want to say, like, you know what? I'm not happy with my penis.
That's
so
probably,
you're going to have the same.
I am definitely not happy with my penis. I wish it was smaller. Too big.
It's too big.
Too big.
Oh, I was thinking. But yeah, it's really incredible. The circumcision where, well, here, I'm going to ask you a question. You can tell me. What is the most sensitive area of the penis?
The penis.
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
Don't touch it. Like, well, you know. Like, you have a circumcised penis.
Yeah.
I am also circumcised. High five. High five to circumcision. So we're both circumcised.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and what's the most sensitive area? Seriously. Like, no jokes, just let's have this conversation.
The head?
Yes, the top. Like, top. I don't know why you're asking
tip?
Me. Yeah, like the tip, the top.
Okay.
Now, also where the incision is made, like
yes.
Where that triangle is
yeah.
At the base, okay. I believe. I don't know, on mine.
Oh, I
have never examined any other person's penis other than my own, so I'm just speaking from my own personal experience.
Well, it's really weird.
Is it on the bottom?
Yeah, it's really weird.
It's at the base. So it's just, I guess, yeah, that connects the same everywhere. You know, maybe it's off a little to the side. Anyways, love your penis. I do. I love my penis.
You should put it away.
I don't know why it's out right now. Holy shit. Holy jeez. Okay, hold on. Don't. Okay, so it's like the most sensitive area of the penis is that triangle,
uh-huh.
Right? So with the foreskin removed from the penis, do you believe you're removing 75% more pleasure from the
right.
Male penis? Think about that. Like, you like what's happening now when you have sex.
Right.
Can you, like, I'm already a premature ejaculator. If I had, I couldn't even imagine what I'd do
yeah.
With, you know, three times more sensitivity.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I don't.
It'd be immediate.
It would be.
I'd be done.
Like anything.
Yeah.
I couldn't leave the house. I couldn't. Yeah, that would be bananas.
Yeah.
That would be bananas. I couldn't imagine. So, I mean, now I don't harbor any resentment, obviously, towards my parents for them choosing
making
for me to be
decision,
circumcised.
Sure, yeah.
But anyways, it goes way back, like, apparently to where masturbating was just something evil and they removed the foreskin because it was less
That's
pleasurable.
Right.
And yet we take this ridiculous nonsense and we're still doing it in 2019.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a lot like religion. People practiced it back in the 1500s. It's an outdated
yeah.
Procedure or thought
Absolutely.
Or idea.
Okay,
or
and yet you still did it.
Yep, that's right.
Okay.
I'm not saying it was right.
Yeah, oh, and I'm not judging in any way, shape, or form, nor should I judge anyone else. Like, right. I don't, you do what you want to do. I know I would not do it if I had a kid moving forward,
okay.
like, without question.
Okay.
and now, to get back to what we were originally talking about, is, so you remove all that pleasure, that's a big thing to take away from someone. Now, I may, like, for instance, there are people out there that don't necessarily, maybe they don't have as easy a time, you know, getting aroused. There's people that have problems with that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And can you imagine that, you know, they're circumcised. The person, like the parents, that there was a procedure that was done when he had absolutely no choice,
mm-hmm.
right, to where it was completely out of his hands. Right. Like, do you think if you could just pop a human brain out of that baby upon birth and say, hey, little baby, wah, wah. Yeah, so... two options, okay? You can have that, you know, that hood over your penis, okay, and have like 100% sensitivity and have amazing sex, etc., and whatever, right? Or we can just slide that bad boy off for absolutely no reason. Like, listen, we don't have to do it. It's not necessary. It's outdated. We should have never, ever done it. I don't even know why it's a practice, but we'll take it off anyways, and you'll have, like... compared to like that other thing with the hood, yeah. like you're gonna be a stump. Well, what would you shoot? Okay. You know what? I want less pleasure.
Yes.
I want less pleasure. Right? And
well,
then
my parents wanted that for me, and I want that for my boy.
Yeah. But and in saying that, as much as that comes out of love, yeah. right? It comes out of love and familiarity. Now, and here's something even more bizarre, okay, because maybe you are looking at me like, like what is this guy talking about?
Yeah.
But there is also a growing movement, for men to reconstruct their foreskins. You don't believe me. There are stretching machines. So there are individuals, watch the document. There's at least like five. No, but honestly, like this is a big movement. I've kind of followed this way too closely for too long a period of time.
Clearly.
Okay, especially for someone that has no interest in rejuvenating my foreskin.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's a whole bunch of, it's a big industry, like a whole bunch of contraptions that you can use that will, through stretching, elongate your foreskin to where it will never go back to what it used to be, but you'll have something.
Yeah.
And think about just the pleasure mechanics as well. Don't look at me.
Don't look at me.
Let's close our eyes while we have this. Don't look at me. To where the mechanism of a sleeve over the penis that mm-hmm. when a male is masturbating, mm-hmm. you're pulling a moist sleeve up and down over the tip, as you had mentioned, which is
sensitive
and highly pleasurable,
sure.
right?
Yeah.
And now you take that out. Like, why are there men out there, for instance, you know, masturbating with a lube? Like, that shouldn't even be necessary. Your body would produce its own natural lubrication. And now, again, like, hey, free lube. Cut that off, too. Yeah, go back to that adult in the baby head and saying, yeah, you're going to have to buy lube the rest of your life.
Right.
It's a really fascinating watch. It's on Netflix. I don't know if it still is. And I wouldn't be able to tell you the name of it either. Because,
good luck, people. Yeah, good luck finding that thing.
Just circumcision documentary Netflix.
Yeah.
And just look at the receded penis. And... oh my God, it's awful. Like the fact that if something does go wrong, right, that 1 in 1 million or whatever it might be,
yeah.
and it's a lot higher than that, like it's at an alarming rate,
mm-hmm.
That could you imagine if your son grew up, if something right. did go wrong,
yeah.
and now that's
if
just...
if you would have just left it alone, I wouldn't be in this situation.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
That was a really good chat. Did you vaccinate your child?
Yes, of course.
And you think it would be absolutely ridiculous not to?
Of course.
Okay, we'll have that conversation later.
Okay.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one.
Why, you think it's okay to not?
No, we're not going there. All I'm saying is that, you know what? I don't have a child, and so whatever choice somebody wants to make with their kid is completely up to them.
No, because it affects all the kids around them.
Your
kid comes down with fucking mumps, which hasn't been around since 1818.
Yeah.
Spreading mumps to kids that...
Okay, but that's the whole thing, but you believe in vaxxing. But for the person that doesn't believe in vaxxing, everything you just said is nonsensical.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. So that's for another one. That's called a tease. What you do is you tease something that maybe you'll talk about. So next time you and I sit down, we're going to talk about anti-vaxxers and whether or not they're onto something or maybe they're not. I don't know. In sticking with yet another loose segue on the Launchpad podcast, let's talk more about your son,
okay,
Alex.
He's five.
Yeah.
Really smart.
Mm-hmm.
Super adorable. I'm a little biased.
Because he's yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like, do you think like every parent thinks that of their
absolutely
own children?
Absolutely.
Regardless of whether that kid is actually smart or actually adorable? Because not all kids are smart and adorable.
I don't know why you're asking me, someone that has zero kids. But I would think that, you know what, is that you may know that your kids don't necessarily excel on a certain level like some other children would.
For sure, yeah.
But there's always something special. There's always something unique in every child.
Of course.
That shines through, that does make them special in a way that other kids can't be.
Uh-huh.
Right? That's pretty good
for
a non-dad. Good, though.
Yeah,
I have nephews and a niece.
Okay.
And I love them all. Mm-hmm. I can't lie. Like, I am not a big children person.
Yeah. For your own, anyways. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's
you know what?
Yeah.
And that's okay. It's anything in, like, for me, anything, like, other than Gaga Goo Goo is okay. Like, I really can't stand babies.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
you can't communicate with them. It's
well, that's the whole thing.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. But no, people tell me that have kids that you can kind of tell that certain cries mean a certain thing. No?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, they're literally, like, my nickname for Alex is Meatball. Because when they're babies, they're literally just a ball of meat.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
They don't talk.
No.
They don't, you can't communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can't figure out what the fuck is wrong with them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's absolutely so maddening and frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. At the end of the day, I love the kid.
Yeah.
But that whole stage was really difficult.
Absolutely.
Really difficult.
I think the really exciting thing about a child saying their first word, in all reality, is that it's the very beginnings of them being able to communicate with the spoken word.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? To where you can start having a conversation with your child. Like, for instance, does that just kind of appear out of nowhere? Or do you find by the time you're having a conversation with your kid that it's just become kind of a natural progression?
It's funny because it stages. And so, like, at the beginning, he'll only be able to say one or two words in the thought he's trying to communicate.
What was his first word, by the way?
Daddy.
You love that. Okay.
Yeah. And then he hits the next stage where he's able to fill in another one or two of those words in that thought he's trying to form. And then now he's able to, you know, really just come out with a whole sentence. And it makes sense. And he, you know.
And he's intelligent.
He is very intelligent.
Yeah. And to be able to, you know, to be able to, like, fully form a thought, like,
it's really wild to see a baby grow. And I mean, I know people have been doing this for eons, you know what I mean?
Especially on Facebook now with all the photos we all see.
Yeah, but to experience it for yourself, it's unbelievable to see how a human being grows and learns and forms their own thoughts and ideas. And like, his big thing now is if he doesn't like what we're asking him to do, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, Alex, I need you to put your pajamas on. I need you to brush your teeth or whatever. His big thing now is like, oh, I just want to live my own life.
Really?
How come you guys get to live your own life and I have to do whatever you say?
He gets it.
Right?
He's oppressed.
Yeah. I'm like, man, like 5 years old, like just to think like, man, how come these guys get to just tell me what to do?
Uh-huh.
Like, who are these guys?
And what that really means in his head as well, right? Like, how does he really see it?
Yeah.
That would be the most fascinating thing, to actually
Absolutely.
Be in his brain and like, does he really know what he's saying right now?
Yeah.
Like, that human consciousness is just...
Yeah.
That's incredible, right? And I think that's what it is that it gets to be exhumed, right, from the tomb, is that all of a sudden Oh my God, I cannot believe that my child is showing rational thought.
You ever watch that show Westworld?
No.
Okay. It's a genius show. Basically, these robots achieve consciousness and realize that they're robots.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. It was this moment of consciousness. And that's kind of like the way a baby is.
Yeah.
You know, they get to a certain point where, like, they're just meatballs.
Yeah.
And then, boom, suddenly they're forming thoughts.
Yeah, meatballs like, with thoughts.
Yeah. Like, suddenly they've achieved this consciousness,
yeah.
And they're like, wow, man, I can say whatever I want now. I can expect things. I can...
And look at the expressions I'm putting on my parents' face. Like, they look really perturbed right now. Like,
yeah.
And that's how they learn. I'm guessing that must be through what they say and how you react. That's just going to kind of feed into what personality that they're going to bubble into. They're going to learn all about you. Great book called Blink. Malcolm Gladwell.
Okay.
He's also written David by Goliath, What the Dog Saw, and Outliers. Like,
I've heard
amazing.
Of that. Yeah.
And Tipping Point. Did I mention that?
No.
Maybe. Okay, I think that's another one.
Okay.
And in Blink, what it does is that it breaks down so many things that happens within the blink of an eye. And one of the things that they talk about is this gentleman that has a special institute where there is a very special language that only few people can do, which is reading like hundredths of a second of a frame of film and what the face is doing at that time and what that means. Hmm. And so I believe that this particular professor has been able to break it down to where someone can have a 15-minute conversation and something, a couple, and to an 80 to 85% certainty, you can tell whether or not those people are going to be together in 5 years.
Is that right?
Isn't that fucking bananas?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bananas. And so what they do is that they just analyze every frame, and there's,
mm-hmm.
you know, frame has a code based on where the face is at that particular time in regards to animation.
Yeah.
It's just fascinating. And these are things that we're still learning about, so on and so forth. But I think, you know, innately deep down inside, that's just something that we have built within us, right?
Sure, yeah.
And how much information is processed with that baby to whatever age it is that they speak, based on how you reacted to the nonsense that they said and did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I remember... did we talk about the first time? I don't know. Because, you know, I share this example with some people, just sticking, you know, with babies and so on and so forth. And,
okay.
you know, there's a learning curve and there's no manual, right? And just as much as they're learning about you, you're learning about them.
Totally.
Right? Parenting can be tough. I don't have to be a parent to know that. And I will never forget. And I tell people this story when it comes to the transparency of who you are. And that also ties into your business and just everything about you. Yes, you. I remember there was a day that you were texting me and you were telling me about how difficult it was, you know, raising Alex at the time. Like, you just weren't sleeping.
I know the exact instance, the same moment. Yeah.
And you texted me and you said, like, I'm weeping. Like, I'm crying. I'm so frustrated.
That was
so deep. And I appreciate that. You're one of two male friends that I have to where, you know, they had kids and they really acknowledged to, like, bare bone proportions. Like, if it was a board game, you would have fucking flipped that thing. Like, if it was a board game, you would have flipped it over and you would have walked away, right?
Yeah.
Man, like, so what was that moment? Like, how are you, in your words, like, you know, outside of that text?
Yeah, so there was this period of time where, I mean, he might have been for a few months, when he was a few months old, every night at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, we called it the witching hour, because for an hour or two, he would just scream.
Mm.
You couldn't feed him, you couldn't burp him, you couldn't walk him, you couldn't, nothing would ease this kid.
Mm.
And he would just scream and scream and scream. And as a parent, you feel that you're not providing for your kid because, like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to, like you said, there's no manual.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's working, right? Nothing's working. So, yeah, I mean, it was weeks of this that finally I broke down and ended up in the basement. I can't do this right now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, Yeah, it's crushing.
And did you tell Shaylee that you were having these like mini breakdowns? Or did you try to be a strong dad?
Yeah, it just happened the once. Okay. But she was there when it happened.
Oh, really?
Oh, for sure. I said, listen, you deal with this. I'm done right now. I can't. And I went downstairs and I just sat in the dark. And
yeah. See, like, I'm just even looking at your face. This is the first time we've talked about it.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Face to face, like, in depth, anyways. Yeah. Like, I may have just mentioned it just once.
Yeah.
And you can just, like... We're talking about facial positioning and all that kind of stuff. Like, I can just, you're right back in that moment.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, it was tough.
Did you like just get into her arms and just kind of sob, or did you just kind of just bend over and she was next to you and kind of patting you on the back? Like,
no. She was coming downstairs and I said, you know, I just want to be alone right now.
Wow.
So yeah, I just, you know, handled it and got back to it or whatever.
Poof. That's crazy stuff.
It's tough.
And now look
it's
at
not
him.
Easy.
And now look at him. Chip off the old block, Alex.
Yeah.
he is kind of handsome.
Yeah.
Well, he is kind of handsome.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, Sean? It's been a pleasure once again having you on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. That was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. We had a lot of laughs.
A lot of laughs.
And I really like having these conversations with you. And... I can see why the listener enjoys having you here as well.
Do they?
Yeah, because, you know, we just have open, honest chats.
Sure.
Really open, really honest. And I also hope that people can see, you know, how we resonate with one another. Like, you're someone I work with on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
On a mission to help entrepreneurs go out there and succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, if you're in today's marketplace and you're relying on a Facebook fan page... You are not really in business. Now, maybe you just want to be a little hobby shop and you don't have much ambition in regards to wanting to grow. And that is perfectly cool. Now, if you're a business that's looking to go out there and crush, if you're out there and you're looking to make a profit, if you don't have a website, if you're not willing to invest in yourself, in your own business, then why is anybody else? I love what you do. I have to go out there and I have to feel confident that I'm going to tell this person that they're going to get something that they love and you deliver. So I'm saying that people should go out there and get a website from whoever you believe is going to do the best job for you.
Yeah.
Like Sean is maybe not everybody's guy. Maybe you don't get a good feeling. That's never happened, right? But take your time and go out there and, you know, interview the people that you want to represent your brand, but to go out there and get a professionally done website. And that's where a veteran like Sean Gallant can come in and just really help your business shine. So I wanted to do that for you. So you didn't have to give yourself a shameless plug. If people want to find you online, glantmedia.ca.
That's right.
And of course, Petawawa Showcase. Want to tell people about that?
Yeah, so Petawawa Showcase, April 26th to the 28th at the Civic Center. 190 vendors. Come on out and check it out.
All right. Showcase and Petawawa.ca.
That's right.
Showcase and Petawawa.ca. Make sure to go check it out. Thank you once again for listening to the podcast. Thank you once again, Sean. Another high five. Yeah, we'll
thanks
just keep this a theme.
Me.
No problem.
Yeah.
And I also do want to give a special thanks once again to you, Sean of Gallant Media, for being the sponsor of the Launchpad podcast.
No problem.
Couldn't have done it without you. Take care, be well, and love simply because you can, everybody.